You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today's episode is brought to you by The Bike Riders, a new film from Jeff Nichols starring Jodie Comer, Austin Butler, and Tom Hardy. Inspired by true events, The Bike Riders follows Benny, played by Austin Butler, the newest member of Midwestern motorcycle club The Vandals, led by the enigmatic Johnny, played by Tom Hardy. Critics are calling it electrifying, stunning, exhilarating, powerful, and the godfather of biker movies. Experience The Bike Riders on the big screen this summer. Now playing only in theaters. Visit BikeRidersMovie.com to get tickets now.
It's the cool again, stupid.
Oh, what an absolutely insane day in the World Cup.
You know what?
Whoa.
Your boy's tired. They gotta take it down a notch.
Bro, you know what? I don't even want to do it, so I'm just going to let Kevinho do it.
Oh, my fucking God.
Kevincho.
Yeah, the Kevinho, he's not Brazilian.
No. Very much not. In fact, don't go, dude. You might not be welcome.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the Cooligans World Cup Daily. We are exhausted. This tournament needs to end tomorrow.
Okay, that's Christian Polanco. I'm Alexis Guerreros. And both of us are sleep deprived.
Okay. And this is the sacrifice that we make for our audience.
Yes.
Okay? This is how people are overworked. Okay. This is how entertainers pick up a drug problem.
Yeah. when I was a kid, I used to watch TV and they'd be all the dad characters would be like, I was in the war and I'm working in this factory. I kind of know how they feel, bro. I've watched 4 games of soccer for 11 days straight.
You know how they say some celebrities and some actors or actresses are like, they got too famous too fast, you know, and then their lives were just, turned upside down.
Right.
I feel like our lives are being turned upside down, but we're not getting too famous too fast, you know?
I also feel like you're wearing a hoodie made out of a towel. What is this? This looks like a Snuggie made a hoodie.
It's like one of them hippie hoodies, you know what right? I mean? I just like, you know, just the...
It does look like vegan, you know what I mean?
It is comfy.
It does look comfy. It feels kind of smooth.
You know what? This episode's going to be comfy because we are joined by an absolutely mega star of a guest, Rebecca Lowe of NBC Premier League.
I don't know if you guys heard that. Rebecca Lowe's going to be here. Have some respect.
Rebecca Lowe, she is here. We're going to be talking about, obviously, England. Maybe their chances of winning the World Cup. Mm-hmm. But
we're going to ask about how England couldn't beat the USA.
Okay. You know what? We should have used that button more in the conversation.
Yeah. I try not to touch any of the buttons because I had no idea how loud they would be in her head, actually.
But Rebecca's going to be joining us to talk about her new podcast, After the Whistle.
That's right. It's called Rebecca and Alexis Just Chatting. No, imagine.
All right. Well, there's the pitch.
What would that conversation be like? How long would Rebecca last in that podcast?
Quite the duo that you do not expect together. But she has a new podcast with Brendan Hunt of Ted Lasso, a.k.a. Coach Beard.
Coach Beard. And he's a massive Arsenal fan, which is pretty dope.
That's right. And it's also produced by Meadowlark Media. So, we had to get her on to support the homies, okay?
Honestly, we brought Rebecca on to say you're welcome.
Okay. The interview was about 40 seconds long. So let's get to it because this was, we just finished watching, obviously, the second round of the matches.
For about 4 minutes, Japan and Costa Rica were through and Spain and Germany were knocked out. It didn't last long, but what an era. What a moment in history.
We had Group E and we had Group F today, and a couple of countries got F'd. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Hey. It wasn't Croatia, Herdman, but a couple of countries certainly felt it, you know?
So let's start which was the earlier game. The early games were Canada, Morocco, and Croatia and Belgium.
Morocco topping the group.
No one saw this. There's nobody.
There's like 8 Moroccans, and that's it.
Find me somebody that has their bracket still intact.
Nobody. You know who? There's probably like 2 or 3 people who've never once seen soccer, and we're just like, woo!
There's not a one.
No.
Because this, nobody expected this stuff. When we first did our like bracket, like preview, or, you know, who's going to get out of these groups, we were just like, I mean, come on. This, why even have Group E and Group F? Because we know Germany, Spain, obviously going through. We know Croatia and Belgium, obviously going through.
Like, you're boring me, bro.
Yo, whoever, why you need to bring back the warm balls, you know, to make the to pick out these groups.
Speaking of, Christian Pulisic's okay, and I think that's.
I'm glad you got what I was referring to.
He did reveal that. Hey, he confirmed he was not hitting the balls. Doesn't clear the dick. Doesn't clear the dick.
Okay.
And also, couldn't be prouder to be on the Le Batard / Metal Arc team, because Walker Zimmerman was on the Dan Le Batard show, and Stugatz basically said, hey, that's Christian's dick. A question I get all the time on the road.
Yeah.
I say, too salty.
I saw Stugatz ask that question. I'm like, this is deja vu. I've been asked this question many a time.
I also love the minor influence that we've had on the sport of soccer, that Walker Zimmerman was like, he's fine. Now, did you hear what he said?
I know. Stugatz is probably, what, like, has about 30 years on Walker Zimmerman. He's like, well, why are you acting like a child, sir?
Yeah. Hey, Stugatz, do me a favor. Could you get your human to be above the age of 12? And Stu, don't do it, baby. Don't do it. Fight the good fight.
Yeah, don't change, bro. So
I never will, right, Christian?
Okay. I mean, you're going to be Stugatz in a couple minutes, dude. You're almost there. Okay, so Canada, Morocco, let's start there. Canada, I mean, outside of...
They technically score because of an own goal, but that's about it. That's the one positive we can draw from this game.
You know, and then look, and also, so officially, Alphonso Davies is the only Canadian goal scorer for the Canadian men
in
the history of World Cup. So he has that for the next 4 years, for at least for sure.
But it's not good enough, man. I you know, you were all, they would play better than Belgium. And I tried to tell you, bro, they were running around like chickens without a head.
What is that? You keep saying that. You
have you ever
you're
seen?
Sounding like a parent that keeps repeating old-timey phrases.
Okay, well, I've told
running
you
running around chickens without a head. What? How old are you, bro?
I told you the story about my the Thanksgiving where I asked for a turkey, right? And my grandfather walked me to the live poultry place because I grew up in a Latin neighborhood. Mm-hmm. You get live poultry places, and they smell horrific, by the way.
I've been to some.
So I'm about 7 years old. All the kids in school are drawing the turkeys with their hands. And I say, hey, why are we drawing turkeys? You probably weren't one of these kids. I was very like, why are we doing that? I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to. Why? I'm asking a lot of questions. You were just like, hey, do whatever they say. I said, why are we drawing turkeys? And the lady's like, because you're going to eat turkey on Thanksgiving. And I was like, no, we not. We eat pork, bro. Three types of pork. We got ham, pernil, and costilla.
And you called your teacher bro. Yeah,
100%. Yeah. That was his name, bro. It was Brodowski. And he was cool with bro. No. Anyway, he was like, you're going to eat turkey. I get to Thanksgiving. There's no turkey. I say, abuelo. I said to my mom, I go, mom, where's the turkey? She goes, oye, abuelo, papi, mandalo para comprar el pavo. So we go hand in hand. He walks me over to the turkey store, to the live poultry place, which is two blocks. And then he points, he goes, these are the turkeys. And then he goes, which one do you like? And I was like, oh, I like that one. He's cute.
I've even named them.
Bro, they grabbed him by the neck, they cut the neck off, and then they start plucking they dip it underwater so it doesn't bleed out, and they start plucking I called a hit out on a bird. I was crying for hours. It was a lot. But you know what else happens at the live poultry place? Every once in a while, they cut the head off of a chicken, and it keeps going. Yes. And it puts blood everywhere. Apparently, the central nervous system still intact. Okay. So you run around like chickens without a head means you're running around flying all over the place with no way. You don't know where you're going. You're bumping into stuff.
Just blood coming out of your neck. It's crazy. Right. Okay. Look bad,
look
according
out,
to Alexis.
Alphonso Davies. You're bleeding from the neck.
Okay, man.
So I answered your question.
Yes, we dedicate a lot of time to things that are not soccer related for a soccer show. Yes. Canada, I think the humiliating thing here is that obviously we're already knocked out of the World Cup, but
I even said I thought they would win this game just as like a going away, like,
yes,
we got nothing to lose type of thing.
I would argue that this might have, I wouldn't say that it's the worst that they look, because they looked pretty good against Belgium, but this was a game you thought there would be a little bit more heart, but the mistake from the goalkeeper, Boyan, too. I give it away to Hakeem Ziyech.
Bro.
I mean, that's not the way you want to go out. And no. A lot of people are going to remember that. So, look, still a big milestone for Canada. But, it just highlights who made it out of CONCACAF. Only the U.S. So everybody was complaining. Everybody was complaining about qualifying and all these other coaches were better and Berhalter this and Berhalter that. Hey, the results kind of speak for themselves.
Mexico made it out the group? Nope. Canada made it out the group? Nope. Costa Rica made it out the group? Uh-uh.
Okay, yeah, dude, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Did USA make it out the group?
Okay, yeah, we needed that. Thank you for reiterating.
Just in case you guys weren't following along.
So, but Croatia-Belgium, I think, is a game I want to spend some time talking about because Romelu Lukaku.
You know who doesn't? Romelu Lukaku. He's like, let's just not talk about it. The man looked broken after the game.
Dude, yeah.
You know what? I wish I could cry on Henry's shoulder.
And he did break. You saw the... where I don't know, the benches or whatever where the players sit, there was like a glass sort of enclosure or rain, whatever, a sneeze guard for the players.
Right.
but he smashed it on the side and it did fall onto like a photographer or a trainer or something
like that. You want to know the shame?
What's
the
shame?
He was aiming for the thing next to it.
Ah,
the dude just can't.
It's just cursed.
He can't do
it. Lukaku had about three, chances that any striker in the world at a World Cup would dream of.
It looks like the ball, when you flip the magnet over and the other one shoots away from it? That's what the ball have, bro. There's something up
Lukaku
with
Lukaku on the ball are just polar opposites, bro.
Yeah.
Just
people were...
He said, check him out ahead. Okay, it's the central nervous system, folks.
Yeah, come on. the ball is like the chicken without a head, and Lukaku's like me, or the opposite. I'm the chicken without a head.
You guys get it.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm the chicken without a head. You know what? I'm a chicken head. Let's just get it out.
Chicken. All right.
You guys still listening to this show, man?
Hey, we all love Project Pat, don't we?
You know what? I just realized that Rebecca Lowe's going to listen to this episode.
I hope you skip this part.
I really hope. Put a time code in it when her interview starts and she goes right to it and doesn't hear any of this.
Okay.
I feel bad Rebecca Lowe is going to Google chicken head and be like, good God.
It's a hook classic. Anyway, I feel bad. I feel bad for Romelu Lukaku. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Belgium, all they needed to do was win this game and they would have moved on. And they just could not. And when he hit the...
People put pictures up of Lukaku in the Chelsea kit, and it's Lukaku for Belgium. It says, it's pretty true, dude.
I just don't know what's happened to... He left, he had an unbelievable year at Inter. He goes to Chelsea, and it's a complete train wreck.
I said on the show, don't go back. It's just not going to be good for you.
Yeah. I try to understand the motive for any player, maybe at a particular age. I saw, who was this quote by? Declan Rice. Declan Rice recently said, I think I saw it today, that he used the phrase, and you don't really see this that often, but he used the phrase, a lot of my friends are playing in Champions League and playing in these big games, and your career is short, and you want to get the opportunity to play in those games, So, because a lot of times people...
What's the part you didn't...
Calls
them friends?
My friend. I'm like, it's like a kid not being invited to like a birthday party. You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean. What are we talking about?
Alexis.
Who doesn't want...
He's like, I got the chickens, everybody.
They got no hands, baby. Couple chicken heads coming to the party, if you feel what I'm saying.
So
this kid just brought actual chicken heads.
it felt a little bit, a little sad, I guess that's the best way to put it.
It's a little bit of a look inside the mind of a player in a way you don't normally. You think of players being like confident.
Because you would expect them to say like, I'm trying to get West Ham into Champions League and we're trying to get top four. And that's going to be the response.
Hilarious, bro.
Bro, you're doing comedy now, Declan?
Damn, Declan. What's in the water bottle, Declan?
So I feel for Lukaku, man. I don't know what is the right move in his career. Look, he's at Inter. He's was recovering from an injury. He hasn't really played at all this season. And you hope he can like turn things around. But if he wins another Scudetto in Italy, what does that mean? Does that mean like, you know, because Inter had the reason they got rid of him was like, yo, okay, we can't afford him.
Yeah.
Or we can't miss the opportunity on this money because we have so many financial issues. So it's like, where does he want to succeed? I don't know. It's just I feel bad. That's my general feeling. I'm an Everton fan, and Lukaku is a big reason for that. So it's just a bummer to see him struggle like this.
So Thierry Henry is an assistant coach with
who you blame more than Roberto Martinez, who also was obviously fired.
Just, he's gone.
okay, but, man, where's the butcher shop, bro?
him and Tata Martino right now, bro. Just sitting waiting for the bus in Qatar. But here's my question. How much should we blame Thierry Henry for any of this? He's the forwards coach.
Yeah.
Does any of this fall? I mean, both Lukaku and Batshuayi looked really bad.
I mean, I would say Belgium, everybody looked bad. Dries Mertens looks bad.
Bro, the quotes look bad. We too old for this shit.
they just didn't. They didn't have almost any kind of spirit. The De Bruyne comments made it feel like they don't even believe that they can win.
Or it shines a light on how much of an argument there really was in that changing room. Because you know I don't know if you heard there was apparently an actual fist fight.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, Lukaku had to break it up. Seriously, there was no joke. Okay. You waited. I saw your eyes.
I mean, most of the things you say are lies, so it's not really.
What a horrible, unfair for me. What a terrible thing to say. Most of the things you say are lies. No, yeah.
Okay.
Harry. Yeah, okay. Harry's
looking it up.
Okay. That's right. Look, now we realize Harry's here and we don't even know what we can use him for.
I know, bro.
We're like,
did you Google chicken head, bro? Keep us.
Okay. Well, you can understand that there would be a lot of frustration. They had a terrible World Cup. Like, even in the win against Canada, they were awful. It wasn't purely luck. But they've been really, really bad.
I believe the dust up, if you will, came from Eden Hazard and Vertonghen, right?
De Bruyne and Vertonghen.
De Bruyne and Vertonghen.
Oh, you don't really think of De Bruyne being a man that gets into scuffles. Who's like,
yo, we too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Yo, he's different now, bro. What was Lukaku did break it up, right? Did they say if there's actual fist fights?
Lukaku did break it up, and Hazard was in the fight as well, actually.
Look at that.
And you say I'm a liar, bro.
I said you usually lie.
No, you say everything I say is a lie.
I wasn't calling you a liar. I said everything you say is a lie. So it's a little bit different. Just quote me correctly, bro.
I can't believe it.
Typical liar, Alexis.
Remember when Christian recently said that I'm the greatest human being alive? I don't know how you don't get up for this because...
That's a big game, man.
You know what I mean?
Joe made it on the show.
Joey!
Hey, we got two producers.
Hey, Joey B!
Okay, so let's... I do want to talk about Group E, but let's do that after we join Rebecca, or Rebecca joins us on the show.
We go join Rebecca.
We go to LA.
We're going to Rebecca's house.
So Rebecca Lowe joined us, and obviously, you know, one of the homies, part of, you know, we worked with her at the Premier League Fan Fest in Philly. So it was nice to catch up with our dear friend Rebecca Lowe. So here we go.
What an absolute honor!
Look, it's the World Cup daily. We couldn't go the whole month covering the World Cup without our next guest,
bro. We called Daddy Lebatard and we said, Papa, we want soccer superstars. And he said, who's the top of your list? You want me to call Ronaldo or Messi? I said, no, they're second and third. We want Rebecca Lowe, everybody.
Bex, what's up?
Oh, you guys. Oh, my goodness. How lovely is it to chat again after Philadelphia, which seems forever ago, but how much fun did we have?
It was so much fun.
It really was. Thank you so much for joining. This is a long overdue. I thought you would be a guest on the show way before we worked together on NBC's Premier League coverage.
Well,
I did not expect that.
No, we're peers.
We're co-workers. We're now colleagues.
Yeah. I mean, nowhere near as beloved, but still colleagues. We're very much the janitors at this organization.
I want to start there because we'll talk about the World Cup. We'll talk about the especially these upcoming matches on the knockout rounds. But I want to just reflect a little bit on the Premier League Fan Fest in Philadelphia. It was the first time we worked together. And this was
can I ask us a question first before you say anything? What had you heard about us before we got there? I'm really interested to know.
Okay. I had heard no all good stuff, guys. I'd heard that you guys were like two Americans who were funny who knew about football. And I was like, well, that sounds like the perfect cocktail. Bring them down.
Okay.
And I gotta be honest, guys, afterwards as well, you came up in a number of post FanFest review meetings, and everyone was friggin' loving the Cooligan.
Look at this.
We passed the review. We're getting a raise, baby.
this is the best performance review I've ever been a part of.
Well, now let me tell you what we heard about you, Rebecca. No, I'm joking. obviously
a superstar. But I want to address that. Alexis mentioned, and we saw that firsthand, how beloved you are to American soccer and football fans. What your not necessarily, I don't know if it's rise to fame. I don't know how you sort of view yourself when you look in the mirror. Is it like, do you appreciate this adoration? Is it something that's a little jarring at times?
It's a bit weird. It's a bit weird. I find it a bit strange because I would say that like the first 5 years, 6 years maybe of doing the show, out and about, the recognition like wasn't really there that much. So then when we would do a fan fest, it was really stark, the difference. Because I mean, I'm just like, I go out and about like I look like now, like I don't look anything like I do on TV. There's no makeup, there's no real hair situation, there is certainly no nice clothes. So there was, but now something has happened the last, I would say, 3 years of it sounds so kind of annoying, but like people come up to me a lot more now than ever before. So the fan fest then becomes slightly less jarring, but I still, every time, guys, I take like a second when I'm on that stage or a few seconds, I turn around and I just like soak it all in, and everyone is just so lovely. And it's just, it's a little strange. I think it must, you know, it's a bit strange.
Well,
because
people are not, they're not handing us their babies.
No, my sister wouldn't even let me hold my nephew. Meanwhile, you have a crowd of people begging you to hold their baby.
They're like, please, Rebecca, take this.
You're honestly, you're basically soccer's Kardashian. All we had to do, our job was made so easy. If ever one of our jokes didn't work while we were trying to MC in the crowd, all we had to go is, how about Rebecca Lowe, everybody? And everyone would just start clapping.
Man, if I was doing a stand-up show and that was my go-to if a joke didn't work, man, I would be.
Yeah, actually, Rebecca, when I film my special, I want you sitting on the stage. And if a joke doesn't work, I go, hey, everybody, Rebecca's here. The curtain moves slightly. You're there. We go back to the jokes. You know?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. They're so lovely, but that's what the fanfest is about. Yet everyone is so, that's why I love this country as well, by the way, guys, because America is so supportive of people generally. I just feel like there is no, sometimes I would say that in England, there can be a bit of an edge if someone is successful or someone's done really well or someone is like new on the block. It's like, yeah, we're going to kind of build you up and then we're going to really knock you down, usually in the tabloids. But here in America, I feel like the general culture is that people are happy for people to do well, and if they and they, there's just, it's just lovely. There's such a lovely feel at those fan fests, and that's just an example for me, a reflection of the rest of this country.
This is good. That's how I know you live in California, not New York, because hey, we ain't got that energy out here. We're very, what, you think you're better than me? Out
here. And I said that to Robert De Niro.
Yeah. Hey, yo, Bobby. Yo, Bobby, when you're done at the buffet with the king crab legs, can the rest of us eat? I don't know why Robert De Niro's at a buffet.
Like, Bobby, what have you done for me lately? Yeah, you know?
I saw The Irishman. Yeah, I'm not a big fan.
All right.
I want to ask you about this because a lot of people don't know your background. And I looked this information up. Apparently, when you were a kid, you had a pet giraffe. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It says you walked to school with Peter Crouch. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
It's an honest mistake.
No, it was, I just, the way I pictured it, I said it.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you're spot on. It was exactly like that because he was about 2 feet taller than the rest of us, even at the age of 14. And he used to carry this tennis racket over his shoulder every day. Peter Crouch was really good at tennis. He was, I mean, not as good at tennis as he was at football, but he wasn't far off. He was really excellent. One of those people that's like annoyingly good at every sport, you know, one of them. And he was always, so none of us really knew he could play football. He would just have this tennis racket and he used to walk to school with 3 other kids. And we wouldn't go to the same school. So him and his 3 boy pals were on one side of the road and me and my girls were on the other side. Every morning we'd parallel walk, right? We'd all stop at the sweet shop for sweets and like make eye contact, but like nobody would talk. And then we would all carry on our journeys. And then the same on the way home. And we sent Valentine's Day cards across to like the different, and not to Peter. I wasn't his friends though. Oh, the twins.
Very nice.
They were popular back in the 90s. But yeah, he's a great. And then I reunited with him years later for an interview. And I was like, hi. I walked in and he was at Southampton then. It was like early 2000s. And he looked at me, he was like, hi. It was just that kind of recognition of like, yep. 6 years ago. Yeah, 6 years ago. Okay, good to see you again.
Now you got tennis rackets. Like.
Exactly. But he's such a nice guy. He's got a great sense of humor.
One of my favorite. He's so funny.
He's got a great personality. I hope to interview him one day on the show. Yeah. He's so good.
Great dude. Okay. Let's look back a little bit on obviously England had their match against Wales, obviously qualified for the knockout stages. The U.S. Against Iran. So you know, it's I've been listening to After the Whistle. Everybody, check out After the Whistle.
Absolutely incredible podcast. If you don't know, it's Rebecca Lowe and Brendan Hunt.
Yes,
also known as Coach Beard from the Ted Lasso show.
Okay,
also a massive Arsenal fan.
Beard and Bex.
All right, so let's start with England.
Thank you guys.
And you know, there seem to be more. I don't know. I guess the nerves of especially playing against the U.S. and obviously. I don't know if it's necessarily the expectation of success, but you guys see the squad you have. You guys want I feel like the English feel like they deserve something positive, especially from these group stages. But the U.S. made it a little bit scary, and then the leading into the match against Wales, it was like, all right, well, this is a derby, you know, for them. So why have your emotions been like throughout these, especially last two matches?
Okay, so coming off the Iran game, obviously life was great. And then heading into USA, I really thought we'd do better performance-wise. The result, obviously now you can look back and the result is fine. The draw was fine. But the performance against USA were better than us. And that was a bit of a reality check. But sometimes you need reality checks. I remember in the summer of, what was it, 21, with the Euro 2020 that got moved to 21, England played Scotland. And the build-up was similar there was an affinity between the two countries like there is England USA and a point to be proved, and I think we drew, didn't we, against Scotland? Yeah. I feel like it was a terrible performance, or did we even? Yeah, and but you know, no one really remembers it. I can barely remember it because we went on to the final. So I'm hoping that's a similar thing. But after the USA game, I was not particularly impressed, not happy. And I think I've said it on After the Whistle podcast. You know, I do love Gareth Southgate. He used to play for my team, Crystal Palace. And I love him as a man in terms of the way he holds himself and leads this team and leads this country. But I just wish he could be braver because, and this is really, in a nutshell, what is wrong with England is that we have a young, vibrant, brave, front foot, high energy group of players better than we've had for 15 years. But we have a manager who's kind of like a dad, who's like, well, you can go out, but just make sure you come back early. You know, it's that kind of thing. And I just want him to let them off their leash and let them go out into the nightclubs and party because I think they're good enough. So into the Wales game, that was fine. That was good. Good performance, decent performance, lots of changes, get some goals into other people. Marcus Rashford is turning into a bit of a star in this tournament. I could not be happier. And so now I'm kind of like, right, We did our job. Have we blown anyone away? No. Have we had good moments? Yes. Now it's time to really get to work.
Do you still get, you've been in this country for a while now. Are you over the sort of that media landscape that puts so much pressure on the English national team? Or do you still carry that in you where you're like, we're going to lose, but if we lose, we're the greatest team. That's not fair. It's like this dichotomy that every English fan has with the Three Lions.
You're absolutely right. My husband is a former manager in England, so he was on the other side of the press, and obviously I am the press. And so the number of high voltage conversations we've had about the treatment of the England squad by the English press, me and my husband, quite a lot, because he feels that the English press are just not enough behind them. And in the past, that maybe has been true. But yeah, it's this weird existence as an England fan, unfortunately, which is, it's all we've got, guys. You've got the Olympics at America team at Team USA at the Olympics. You've got the NBA, you've got NFL. You've got so many other things that you can spread your sort of attention on. We ain't got really anything. We've just got football, like bleed football. That's all we do. And so you have this relationship with the England team where you're so deeply in love with them. Like, I love England so much. And then when they let you down, you're like, I hate you so much. It is so difficult to find a middle ground. There just ain't one. It's black and white.
So what you say about the English national team is how my mother must have felt about me when I was a teenager. Like, I love this guy, but he just cannot stop disappointing me.
And look, you know, whenever we have English people on the show, there's a complex, I feel. I just, something happens where I'm like, I just remember all the comment sections whenever we...
It's football, mate,
and blah, blah, blah. there's a condescension that comes...
annoying.
From English fans, and it's not fair to judge all English based on the comment sections of YouTube videos, but there's something where...
No, please don't do that.
No.
But
we've been there enough times where we realize, it's eight very loud people on our comments. It's not the whole country.
But there is that...
Exactly.
I feel like England tends to be a barometer for other nations, other footballing nations, where they want to, they judge themselves based on how they do
against
England.
It's the New
England.
York of football. If you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right, both internationally and domestically. You know, players want to go to the Premier League. You know, Mbappe is an example where that's a destination where he could go because it'll be one of the few places where he can know that he's playing at the top of his game, which is why it's such a shame that Messi never went to England, because actually, has he ever really been tested? I'm not 100% sure
okay,
he has. In my opinion, PSG do me a favour, and La Liga, when there's two teams, it might as well be Scotland.
Wow.
Sorry, but I feel like he should have tested himself. Ronaldo did. He wasn't scared. I love Messi. Didn't work out well for him. But he wasn't scared. He should have come to England. But then national team wise, England just has this self-created aura around it, because, like, I go back to what I said before, it's all that the country's got. And so it becomes like we lift them up, and it has a good pedigree, good history, tons of great stories, the England national team. So yeah, I kind of see what you mean by that. But I tell you one thing, it is, one day it's going to happen. And when it happens for England, whether it's this World Cup or when I'm dead, it is going to happen. And I tell you, if I'm not right in the middle of that drunken crowd in Trafalgar Square, then I have made a massive error.
Well,
because it is going to be the probably up there.
You know what? That day I want to see you riding on Peter Crouch's shoulders with the whole crowd.
waving a tennis racket everywhere.
Sweet shot.
Why is Rebecca on stilts? This is crazy.
Why is Rebecca taller than Big Ben?
You know,
it will be carnage.
I hope to be there just to see it.
Look, but no, obviously this World Cup, the United States is going to obviously win.
That's obvious.
You're going to have to obviously show support and celebrate. Yeah. I know you're going to be, you know, grinding your teeth through that commentary, but, you know, let's talk about the U.S. a little bit, because, you know, I loved how you were speaking about the...
Yeah, Rebecca sounded like she was one of these 4-0 predictors. Oh, England going to beat USA 4-0. I heard that a lot. But I think the U.S. showed really well.
Oh, did not say that.
Okay, well, tell Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney needs to go viral. He works here now, dude. Wayne, relax. But I think the U.S. showed really well. Just from your perspective, now that you're here, your kids are going to have American accents. What do you think about the way that U.S. has developed over the years that you've been here as a footballing nation? We've gotten way further along.
I mean, loads further along, and not just on the international scene. I mean, because you had that dip when you didn't qualify, of course, in 2018. But when you look at the team now, I know Christian Pulisic is the gem, and he really is so important, and he is without a doubt the star. But there's actually been other stars too, and I'm not sure that anyone expected Tyler Adams to be quite the star he's been. I'm not sure anyone expected Tim Ream to be playing out of his skin like he's been playing, because he's been playing well for Fulham, but he looks like John Terry at his peak. He's just playing so well. So that's been great to see that progression. But in terms of the nation, just little things. Like, I don't think in 2014, and I might be wrong, but I don't think in 2014, when I'd been here a year, I would go into Target and see a whole section of US men's national team merchandise to buy. Now, there's this huge section in my local Target. Obviously, I just walk straight by that stuff. But it's right there. It's right there. And also, just generally, it's on the tips of people's tongues more. So at school pickup, which is, you know, the most cross sort of section society moment of my day, the other day after you'd played Iran and got through, people were talking about it. And people that I didn't think would have been watched it were watching it. And it's just much more of a conversation now. You guys and this country in 2022 is it's so much different from where I came in 2013. And it's only going one way, guys. And everyone's going to be running scared. The NHL have already been scared off. NBA, running scared. MLB, terrified. NFL, maybe the world we're dead. But the Premier League and football is coming, because there is no getting away from the fact it's the greatest game in the world and it's the most popular game in the world. They can't all be wrong, can they,
guys?
Well,
I agree.
Okay.
This is beautiful. I feel like we should stop here, put our hands together, and go America, and go to Qatar and tell Berhalter what was just said on the show.
I mean, look. This confidence has made me, you know, want to go up to English people and say, find a new sport. You're done. You know?
Pick up baseball, baby.
We'll toss you one of ours.
You get to keep the ball.
I know, you've got enough.
This is why people love you, Rebecca. I mean, you just have a way of inspiring. Oh. You would make me feel like I have abs, you know?
That's quite the feat. That's quite the feat. God. Okay. I want to ask a question. This is we have a question from Gully Squad, which are our supporters group, the Cooligan supporters group. This is from Nick Sint. He says, it's more of a statement, but he says, from the first time she heard Rebecca's voice on TV, my wife has wanted to invite Rebecca and her family is welcome to over for Thanksgiving in a place of our actual extended family just to hear her talk. They love your voice. You are, it is like a warm welcome. There's
no one's invited us to their Thanksgiving, and these are our fans.
But guys, I think this is what it is. I think that the English accent over here is still like a kind of novelty. And then my voice is like the soundtrack to people waking up from a hangover on a Saturday morning and a Sunday morning. They put their TV on and it's like, there's the voice. And whether they like it or not, it's the voice, right? Every Saturday and Sunday morning. And I think I've just become kind of synonymous with like safety in my bed with my cup of coffee after my 100%. Big night out on a Friday. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay to be that soundtrack.
I've always said that for me, if there isn't ketchup on my bacon, egg and cheese, it doesn't feel like my morning breakfast. But now you've replaced the ketchup. Now
you,
if there's no
the
Rebecca
ketchup
Lowe
on the bacon
with my bacon, egg and cheese, I'm like, bro, what's happening, bro? What happened?
I'm bigger than ketchup.
Bro, you're bigger
that
than ketchup.
Is massive.
Bro, that's it. There. That's a put it on a bumper sticker. That is cool. It's on your resume now.
Who was it? The Beatles said we're bigger than Jesus. Rebecca's bigger than ketchup.
Okay. And more people have ketchup, then follow Jesus. So I'm just saying.
It's a very influential topic.
Okay. It's a religion I can get behind. Okay. I wanted to talk about this, and we'll wrap up in a moment. But we're talking about family. You've been highlighted and featured about, you know, just your work ethic and your dedication to your family.
And being a woman in the industry.
Yeah, and one thing, and maybe this is an opportunity just to get maybe some advice as somebody who works in the sport and is has a family. My wife is due March 31st. We're having our first child. I'm very, very excited, but the question that a lot of like some people from like Entertainment Tonight, Rebecca, how do you handle it all? How do you do both?
Yeah, Rebecca, teach Christian how to be a woman with a child in this business.
Please, I could use some direction.
I love it. Okay, so my first piece of advice, Christian, is between now and March, live your best life, my friend, because it is all going to change, right? So I now sometimes have just very tiny moments, usually the bedtime routine, where I sit there and I go, wow, do you remember those days, honey? And I say to my husband, like, do you remember those days, like 2012? They were great, right? They were great. When, like, there was no bedtime routine. There was no, like, mom. No, it is amazing. All I would say, I have the advice, how do you do it, is a lot of things has to basically fall by the wayside, I'm afraid. Like, everything becomes your kid, your spouse, and your job. But the one thing I think is really important is to keep going. It's best, not everyone can do this, guys, because different circumstances. But if you can continue working in the way that you've always done, even though they're babies, they will start to kind of understand priorities, and they'll start to understand what's important in life. And I do think that working really hard, and don't get me wrong, leaving my kid, I have a little boy, he's 6 and a half. We're at a good stage now with me leaving. He gets it a bit more, but we've had some, as a baby, he hadn't got a clue if I was there or not, let's be honest. But then we had that between sort of 3 and 5, and it was really, really difficult when I would go to work. And I've had many times when I've sat on the airplane thinking, should I just give it up? Should I just give it up and stay home? Because people were telling me, you know, you'll never get this time back. You'll never get this time back. And of course, you have moments when you're like, am I doing this all wrong? Maybe I should just be at home, just like just with him all day, every day. But now he understands. And he actually says to me about, he talks to me about my job. And he says to me, Mum, do you enjoy your job? And I say, yeah, I really enjoy it. It's really important, Ted, to enjoy your job. Because ultimately, kids just want you to be happy. And so if they see that you're happy and you enjoy your job, then they're okay with it. And then it sets them a really good example. And I really feel strongly, having a boy, that being a female, he sees what I do. Because when he grows up, if he goes and gets married, he will hopefully go for a lady who is independent, who has a career, and then continues to set that example. Because when I was growing up, there wasn't always that example to follow. And I just think that's really important. So I sort of love my job, but I also do it to try and do good for other people as well.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's beautiful advice.
Very, very.
That's like the best advice you've received. A lot of people are like, yo, dude, don't do it, bro.
Guys, bigger than ketchup. Okay, what can I tell you?
I'm going to take my advice from you. No, right? Thank you so much. Yeah, it is a, you know, you don't know. I don't know what I don't know. That's the main thing. And there it.
No, but Christian, one of the things, sorry to interrupt you, one of the things that you yet to know, but you'll know in 6 months' time, is there is this like love inside of you that's yet to come out. And when you have that kid, I'm a little bit obsessed with my kid. Like, I sometimes just stare at his face. Like, I made you. Like, I baked you in my stomach. This is so weird. How obsessed am I with you? Very. And sometimes I just say to him, so sorry. He's like, why are you staring at me, Mum? I'm like, I'm just.
It's actually.
It's amazing. And it's a beautiful
thing. That's actually scientific. Did you know that? Your brain releases a chemical so you don't eat your kid. Did you know that?
I love.
Stop it!
I swear!
Of course.
I swear to God.
Of course, Alexis would have the knowledge about eating your child.
It's 100% true.
I don't know what your diet is like, but
it's 100% true. Look this up.
Alexis is like, hey, I had to cut out some things on my diet. It was getting bad.
Yeah, hey, I'm cutting down on sodium, and I'm not going to eat my kids, I decided. You know, that's it. I was going to do keto, but I decided no. I'm not. It's true. Look it up. Your brain releases the chemicals so you don't chomp on your kid when you're hungry 2,000 years ago. And now you stare at your kid at night.
You know what? Hey, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know if Rebecca came on the show expecting,
what did she expect?
Expecting to be this kind of knowledge.
Rebecca,
but
how about you give me advice? My wife and I, we don't want kids. And we go out and we eat all the time.
Also fine.
Yeah.
Just live we your best life, mate, because that is also fine. Yes. Do it. And don't, and anyone, you know, the most annoying people in the world, I'm sure you've had about 7,000 of them in the last year, are the people who goes, when are you guys having kids? Leave me alone. We are really happy the way we are. We have a great life. You know, people need to just concentrate on their own wombs and their own, you know what, because you're doing fine. So don't worry about that. You just go and enjoy your life, because, by the way, having kids is beautiful, and also not having kids, you can have just as fulfilled a life.
I agree.
So,
I love it. Rebecca, people have stopped asking. We've been married 15 years. My mom, I think my mom just thinks I, like Christian Pulisic, don't have pieces that work.
I love it. Christian. Rebecca Lowe. We can quote her. She said, stay out my damn business.
Yo, get out my womb, bro.
Rebecca, this has been an absolute joy. This is so cool. Oh. Thank you so much for joining us. And
where can everyone get the podcast?
Yeah, man, After Whistle.
Oh, yes. It's my first ever podcast, guys. It's so fun. It's called After the Whistle, as you say, and it's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify as well. It's Brendan Hunt, Coach Beard, and me. So, yeah, wherever you get your pods, pretty much, I think.
And the cool thing also, it's produced by Meadowlark Media.
We produce it, dude. Okay. I'm me and you.
Okay, well, yeah.
Rebecca, we're your employers, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
But tables this, are turned.
Rebecca, this has been super, super cool. Thank you so much for joining us.
This has been an honor.
Anytime. You guys are the best. I hope to see you very soon.
All right.
Absolutely incredible. Let the whole crowd clap. I mean, Rebecca Lowe. What an
shout
planet.
To Bex, okay?
Bro, Bex said shouts to us, bro.
So go check out After the Whistle, wherever you get your podcast. Rebecca and Brendan Hunt, it's a great show. And I had told her as well that I was like, after the U.S. drew against England, I was consuming a lot of English people being angry that they drew against the U.S.
Same.
Content, right? So, and that was one of them, and it was great. It was good English tears. You know what I mean? It made me feel pretty good about myself.
It's really the tea we drink, you know, out here. I watched a lot on YouTube.
Okay,
and I do want to give credit to TIFO IRL. TIFO,
yeah.
Great channel. They like to give a little bit of credit. They were like, hey, the Americans played well. Every other channel was like, all right, Phil Foden. Phil Foden should have played. You know, Gareth Southgate, he needs to be sacked midway. No. Tifo was like, hey, why don't we look at this from a unbiased point of view?
Yeah.
And that's not common.
Yeah. Okay. I'm impressed.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Good to see you. Okay.
I do watch this one channel called Chickens Without a Head. And it's a lot of blood. You guys got to see it.
Okay.
Group E.
Oh.
Costa Rica almost did it, dude.
Costa Rica, they teased us with you know, some late heroics, some conquer.
I wouldn't say it was late. It was mid-game heroics.
Mid-game of 70-something minute. I just thought, you know, I thought anything was possible. But that moment, it felt like the CONCACAF was going to have a second representative really change, you know, how we're perceived.
Yeah, the perception of all the whole CONCACAF region. But no.
No.
Again, just the Americans.
But no, it was so obviously both matches, Costa Rica against Germany and Japan against Spain. We're in the studio watching both of these, and it felt like I think the bigger shock here is the obviously the Japan-Spain result, because after we saw what Spain did to Costa Rica in that first in that opening match. I even said Spain looks like they should be the favorites to win the World Cup, and I very much do not think that now.
Yeah, I was like, well, they're looking the best. I go, honestly, you know, Germany can make it. I was doing a lot of that stuff, but there's something about this Japan team where they're not just like gutting it out. They're also kind of disrupting what you want to do.
Right.
And they've shown it twice now, but Spain is a different level.
Yeah, well, that's what we expected for them to be a different level.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, to do this, that's a bigger notch on your belt than Germany. No offense to Germany.
Right. So the level of after Japan beat Germany, that was already like one of the biggest shocks of the World Cup.
Right.
And everybody was asking.
I heard the Saudi prince is going to buy them all. Rolls Royce.
Like, okay.
But in the Rolls Royce is a chicken without a head.
Okay. But the fact that Japan, you know, after that first game, I think they really showed because, at least to me, like World Cups are a little bit of, you're not watching the classiest version of the game. Right, it's a lot of
in the third game of the group stage.
Right.
That's when it gets a little dirty. You know what I mean?
You played a lot of minutes in a short amount of time.
Right,
and
you just gotta win. It doesn't matter.
You just gotta find the strength.
Yes.
And given that this World Cup is happening in the middle of a season, there's just a lot of like confusion and a lot of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But Japan to show the level of heart and concentration and not be intimidated by these big footballing nations that we generally this is how we feel Germany's supposed to win in this game.
Yeah. But no one had Japan getting out of the group. But also to take advantage of every single opportunity that's presented to you.
Yeah.
Is absolutely incredible.
And then so the game-winning goal that the ball that was kept in so we can take a look at it real quick. We'll get Tom Boger had tweeted the image that's been going around. But you can see the tweet there. It says, the finest of margins that sent Japan to the knockout round and eliminated Germany on the final day of the group stage. And this was a controversial call because they said the ball did not go out. The ball was kept in, and then the ball was obviously hit in for the goal. And when you're looking at it here from the top, down from the like sky cam, you can see that the bottom of the ball.
Click on the photo.
Okay. The bottom of the ball is definitely in the green.
Can you zoom in on that? Enhance.
I can.
Did you? Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. There we go. So the bottom of the ball.
I mean, that is. It's not over.
It's not, the ball has to be completely over the line.
So in other words, you have to see a blade of grass between the ball and the line. Move your mouse.
Okay.
Yeah, see? The line is wildly
it's
close.
It's so, but it's.
It's literally probably the furthest it could go without being over.
Right. It is super, super close. And I mean, and this is the difference between, possibly missing the knockout stages. But the fact that they were able to keep this ball in, it's just remarkable. It is remarkable.
What's crazy is if that ball is doing what it's doing, like maybe a foot further this way, it doesn't count as a goal. Isn't that crazy? Like if it was going over the line this way inside of the goal.
Oh, right. Correct. Yeah.
That wouldn't be a
goal.
Ball,
again, the ball has to be completely over the line.
But like if I was on a team and that was in goal.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
Far, I'd be like, yeah, out of your mind if you're not giving me that goal.
So yeah, so this is a picture tweeted.
This is another very high-end technical photo. This is Gary Neville took this with his phone on his TV.
So we're looking at an image of Gary Neville's TV, which is kind of nice. I love that he lets us into his life this way.
Yeah, very cool. There seems to be a Nintendo Switch at the front of the television.
So good for him. Gary Neville actually is kind of fun on TikTok. He has
an anti-American TikTok.
No, he doesn't really. He does talk about the game, but he brings his family. I think he has two daughters. And his two daughters are like 12 and they like literally can't stand him. Like, and it's just great. It's like, that's how the rest of the internet feels about
Gary. Yeah. No, we know how you feel, girls.
they just think his dad is like the corniest human being in the world. But this is the image that we're looking at is of Gary Neville, of his TV. And in this image, it very much looks like the ball is over the line because you can see
not the right angle to make that call.
It is not, but this is because this angle is out there, and obviously it was on the broadcast. But because the ball itself, because it is a sphere, it is still technically on the line, even though it's not actually touching the line. That makes sense.
Why are you explaining this? People know this.
No, some people don't. So a lot of people look at the internet, bro. Everybody's saying this goal shouldn't count.
There's a good example of everyone. The internet.
Yeah. Okay, that's.
Well, how do people feel? Well, let's go to the internet comments. There can't be any absolute ridiculousness.
That's the future, bro. Everybody bases everything based on what the engagement is like. What are people saying?
For those of you watching and see the trending bar, you may see exactly how incredible the internet is.
Yeah, they're saying Kanye, and then somebody put Kane, K-A-Y-N-E. All right, so this is the internet we are relying upon.
His first ever award being a producer, they misspelled his name as Kane.
Okay, all right. Look, Alexa's trying to make Kanye a sympathetic character.
Not at all.
Are we supposed to feel bad about it?
I'm surprised he hasn't been fully canceled yet.
Anyway,
if you go Google why he's trending, and I think even those of you who are still defending him will walk completely away.
So obviously a huge win for Japan. They finished at the top of the group, but Costa Rica They had a moment. They were leading 2-1. It was an exciting time. Kai Havertz comes in the game, and
it's about time that Costa Rica starts to develop players or a system that moves away from this really, really rudimentary style of soccer. It was just you saw it. It was boring. It was Route 1. It was.
Maybe
cynical football, as they've called it in the past.
Maybe this cycle, the quality isn't there, but historically.
And you know about they got good players coming up in the system.
I don't know what they have coming up, but I'm saying you say it like it's time they move on from blah blah blah. But Costa Rica has generally been a challenge within CONCACAF, so I'm not trying to be that dismissive. They had a bad World Cup, but they did make it there, so that's saying more than obviously a lot of other nations that could have made it.
So I have another crazy stat for you because I do research.
Okay, let's go.
So if you cut a chicken's head, no. did you know that no nation with a foreign manager has ever won the World Cup?
I did not know that. No.
Okay. Of the nations that have foreign managers, you want me to name them out to you?
Sure.
In this World Cup, Belgium,
mm-hmm.
knocked out.
Yeah.
Canada,
knocked out.
Qatar.
Damn, bro, that was a tough one, but they're out also.
Mexico,
yes.
Iran,
okay.
Ecuador,
all right.
Saudi Arabia, South Korea.
So the thing I'm worried about here is that it's now starting to feel like we need more people like us in our. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's getting a little nationalistic, bro.
No one click on Kanye. but what I'm saying is. No nation with a foreign manager has ever won the World Cup. And you're starting to see that all these nations that have them also did really badly in this World Cup.
That's an interesting.
But I think the point, the topic I'm trying to get to is we have to also move past the building, developing great players. We're going to have to also develop great coaches. That's a huge part of it because you have to, you don't just have to develop these players, but you have to have the coaches that know how to use them. You have to have coaches that understand what your strengths and weaknesses are, formations that you can put them in that would give you an advantage. Also have to understand your national system and, you know, how it works. And you know, there's a lot of, you know, politics that goes on in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would even say that being a club manager and a national team manager are probably two different skill sets.
Not probably. They absolutely are.
So you can say, like, yeah, we need to develop coaching. But it's hard to specifically distinguish, you know, what makes a great national team coach and what makes a good club coach. So the answer is yes, we need to develop all those things everywhere across the world. That's what World Cups are for, to display the game and make it. Everybody's like, I need to get in on this for next time. Okay, so there was something I wanted to highlight, but I can't remember anymore.
What was the last thing you were thinking about?
I don't remember. It's all good.
Was it the amazing stat that I just gave you?
that was pretty fun. Let's just take a look forward at the matches for tomorrow, for December 2nd. Group G and Group H will be going up. Cameroon and Brazil, Serbia and Switzerland. And those are the later games. And then the earlier games are going to be Ghana, Uruguay, South Korea, Portugal. Ghana, Uruguay. Did you see Luis Suarez's comments? He delivered it in English, so everybody knows.
Is that true?
He did.
I only read the quote. I didn't know he delivered it in English.
Yeah, I saw it. He said, he's like, I have no reason to apologize. I got the red card. The player from Ghana missed the penalty.
Osama Gian.
I don't remember his name.
Gian, I believe, was the player. But yeah, I mean, if, for those of you who don't remember. He went up, grabbed the ball with his hand he basically pretended to be a goalkeeper when he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Handball, gets a red card, gets kicked out. Penalty because it was in the box. Gian misses the penalty. Okay. So
yeah, and Uruguay ends up winning the match.
Uruguay wins the match, and he comes back out of the locker room. He's running around people's shoulders. The big party. But I kind of agree with him here.
Yeah, it seems like there's a, you know, because...
I hate defending Luis Suarez. And there's two things, and one of them is not bringing up. But the other one is this penalty. He took his red card and he left. It's not... People say, like, he cheated. It's like, if he would have gotten away with it, that's cheating.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He took he took the consequences of that, of his actions.
Exactly. So there's nothing, you know, people calling him a cheat and want him to feel shame. Like, he did what he did.
The guy bites people. He don't feel shame.
Okay. That was, the point is, don't bring your live chickens around him, bro.
Oh, my God. And also, use your hands if...
That's a big game, man.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's a big game, man.
It is a big
game.
It is a big game. He did what he had to do for his country.
Would you do it?
Of course.
Yeah. I would, too.
Yeah. I mean, if you have an opportunity to move on in the World Cup, take the red.
Yeah. It's a big risk, too, because you're giving away a penalty.
You're giving away a penalty, and you're certainly missing your next match.
Right. Which they lost.
Which they lost, of course.
Yeah, because they didn't have Luis Suarez.
But they wouldn't have even been there. But even just for... But think of how much money they made just from advancing. Probably millions of dollars for simply going on to the next round. So it was worth it, even though they did lose that next game.
Right.
So.
I wish I would have remembered his name. There was a player that was talking. I just saw a clip of it. But they said that I believe he's from Cameroon. And he was saying that, I can't remember, wherever Mbappe's family is originally from, that's the country he was talking about.
Okay.
Because he said Mbappe's father realized at a young age his son was going to be really, really good at football. So he brought him back to his home country because he wanted him to play there and presented him to the national team and said, this kid's really good. And they asked the dad for a fee.
Yes, yes. I did see that too. And then didn't Mbappe respond saying that wasn't true or something like
that's
that?
That's why I'm saying I don't know if it's true or not. But it would have been it's a shame if that is true.
Yeah.
That, you know, there's some sort of...
It doesn't sound crazy.
No. But, you know, you don't want national team players to have to pay a fee to play for their country.
Of course. I mean, that would be absurd.
What a weird pay-for-play system they got.
Okay. All right. So then
Brazil versus Cameroon. Who do you go for?
I mean, Brazil, obviously. No Neymar, though. We know that. But he's still dealing with have you seen his injury, his foot injury, his ankle? Honestly, I was like, either Neymar got like clipped in the ankle or he's diabetic. I'm like, yo, this is a thick ankle.
Bro, he looks like he's baking bread.
It looks bad, bro.
Bro, someone put like, nah, he's done. He got the same foot as my auntie right now. Serbia versus Switzerland.
Yeah,
this is going to be a tough
one. This is going to be a tough one. I don't know.
Xhaka versus Serbia.
I'm going to go for Switzerland because they have a Dominican player.
That's right.
Ruben Vargas. Let's go. But I guess
you're voting for that traitor, dude.
Okay, well, Jesus Christ,
could have played for the Dominican Republic.
Alexis is already highlighting the foreign managers.
I'm becoming way more tribal as I go through this World Cup.
I feel like Serbia would probably be the favorites here, but I'm going for Switzerland. So
I think that's just going to be a fun game to see. A lot of red cards, I'm assuming. Ghana versus Uruguay. It's so much emotions in this one.
Yeah, I honestly think. The revenge is in place. I think Ghana.
I also think Ghana is a better team this time around.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going with Ghana. South Korea versus Portugal.
Mm.
Interesting.
This
Heung-min Son.
Yeah, I mean Portugal. They already advanced, so they're probably gonna.
Ronaldo's play, not playing this.
Not a super strong team. But you still will have to favor Portugal here.
Look
at
Group H because I want to see what the group looks like.
Okay. Oh, the group?
Full table, right down the right. Go up.
Yep.
So South Korea needs to win here. And Ghana has to either draw or lose. You could if you scored enough goals. No, Ghana has to lose, essentially. And South Korea needs to win in order to go through.
Yeah.
For South Korea to go through. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to remain the way it is. I think it's going to be Portugal-Ghana. I think South Korea will win, but I also think Ghana will.
I sort of feel the same way. Okay. I mean, we got to wrap up.
What a breakdown.
We've been going on too long.
Really? It's been, I can see the time.
So, all right, everybody. Thank you again for joining us on the Cooligans World Cup Daily. Shout out to Rebecca Lowe. Thank you for coming through. This
Absolutely
is really, really cool.
Incredible.
Super, super fun. And it was great to catch up with her. So anything else, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. And also just a reminder, Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Shouts to everyone who got us to 5,000 YouTube subscribers, which is very nice.
We're on our way. We're building the road to 6,000.
We're doing it. And also, do not forget, please, please do this. Go subscribe to the Cooligans Clips channel. That is, it's right there. If you go to our YouTube channel,
you'll see it.
You'll see it right there. YouTube.com/soccercooligans. You'll see the clip channel right there, which all the shorts and all the, you know, short form content live. So make sure you subscribe to that and let people know how much you're enjoying this World Cup because the Cooligans are, you know, helping you through
killing themselves so that you get content every day.
Okay. We're getting too famous too fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you, everybody, for another hot show in the books. We'll be back tomorrow. The games do not end. The Cooligans do not stop. Let's go, baby.
Let's go. We love you guys.
Now's the time to start your next adventure behind the wheel of an exciting new Toyota hybrid. With the largest lineup of hybrid, plug-in hybrid, and electrified vehicles to choose from, Toyota has the one for you. Every new Toyota hybrid comes with Toyota Care 2-year complimentary scheduled maintenance, an exclusive hybrid battery warranty, and Toyota's legendary quality and reliability. Visit your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota, let's go places. See your local Toyota dealer for hybrid battery warranty details.